Welcome back to another episode of Anime Deep Dive. For those who don't know, this is a spoiler review, so if you haven't seen the series and are only looking for a recommendation, there's a timestamp in the episode description for final thoughts. That section's spoiler-free, where I give my overall opinion on the series and if it's worth watching. So The Pet Girl of Sakuruso was released in 2012 by Studio JC Staff. It has 24 episodes that come in sub and dub, and I watched the sub. Alright, so I found out about Pet Girl because it popped up in my recommended videos a few times. I heard great things about it and needed a new series to get me out of the slump, so I gave it a go and got hooked pretty fast because the main character Sora goes through a development arc in the first few episodes that I think other shows would take an entire season to get through. He starts off unfulfilled and blames his environment for why he's not happy, but he doesn't do anything to change it. And it's kind of like he's a victim of self-sabotage because he knows what he needs to do, he just doesn't do it. He even admits he doesn't see the point in trying if there's a chance he can fail, and that attitude will hold anyone back. I think Sora's biggest problem is he doesn't have a direction or goal, because people need something they're passionate about to get them off their ass, which is why when he's inspired to make games, he actually applies himself and starts to move forward. And I kind of got scared when Sora progressed so quickly early on because I didn't know what else there'd be for him for the rest of the season, but the show actually goes into his frustrations with failure, jealousy, the importance of perseverance, and all the other realities associated with achieving something big, and it's great. I was really surprised how well they did getting me invested early on in this character, because these kind of things would usually happen at the end of a season, like a character would realize what they want to do. And maybe you'd see them like sign up for a class or just start going to school for the job they want and it just ends. But with this show, he kind of figures that out early on and the rest is actually showing him put in the work, which is something different that I haven't seen before. When it comes to Mashiro, she's like a savant who can't complete simple tasks and doesn't understand basic social constructs. So Sora, for some reason, is put in charge of all her daily needs like getting her dressed, doing her laundry, and making sure she eats. She's pretty much dependent on him like a child, but he almost enables her behavior because he isn't helpful when she wants to learn. She tries to cook, and it's almost like he wants her to fail because deep down he enjoys being relied on, but that's not the foundation for a functional relationship. The romance between Sora and Mashiro is sweet. Damn near all their interactions are funny or adorable, but I do wish they got a better ending. I'd like to see Mashiro ask for a kiss like she did, but when Sora says, "Oh, is it for your manga?" have her be like, "No, I just want to kiss you." Then make them a couple because leaving it open was lame. The next character I want to go over is Rita. She's Mashiro's friend who wants to get her back into high society art. She's kind of aggressive about it, and it's like, who is she to tell Mashiro what to do with her life? If drawing manga makes her happy, then no one has any business pressuring her to do something different. Then it's revealed Rita is only doing it out of guilt because she's the one who pushed Mashiro away from painting. She was jealous of her talents and didn't feel seen, and I think everyone struggled with comparing themselves to someone else, but that's the last thing you want to do. Rita is a fantastic painter in her own right, so she shouldn't be bothered if she isn't on Mashiro's level. She should want to paint because it's what she loves and not worry about what anyone else does. Also, art is subjective and affects people in different ways. So there could be someone who doesn't connect with Mashiro's paintings, but they love Rita's. It's kind of like music. I'm sure there's huge artists out there that you don't like, but then there's also a band that plays 300 people shows you're obsessed with. And sure, the smaller bands would probably love to be on the same stage as the big artist, but at least they still get to make music and do what they love. So Rita should just be happy that she gets to do something she enjoys. The last thing on Rita is it's nice to see the girl go after the guy for once. I mean, if they switched the genders and Renosuke was sneaking kisses off of her, it's kind of creepy, but keep it the way it is and it's fine. Hard work and dedication is something I think this show nails, but it also goes into what happens if you overdo it. Nanami is the character with an unrealistic amount of jobs who somehow still goes to school and pursues her dream. She moves into Sakura dorm because the rent's cheaper, but right after she eases her financial burden, she takes on Mashiro duty and is eventually left overworked and unprepared for her voice project. She took on so much and lost the one thing she wanted. It shows you have to prioritize what's important. You only have 24 hours in a day and you have to use them intelligently. It also shows it's okay to accept help. If she let Sorda take back Mashiro duty, it would have freed up a lot of time to practice for her audition. Now just to switch gears a little bit, I think the romance between Nanami and Sorda is the best. I still wanted him to end up with Mashiro, but the show did a good job of having me go back and forth, because there's nothing worse than the third side of a love triangle not feeling like an actual option. And the show puts so much emphasis on Sorda promising he'd go to the Christmas play with Nanami, I knew she'd get screwed. But it wasn't as bad as I thought. It's not like he didn't show up, Nanami got part of the date, and Mashiro got stuck waiting for Sorda on Valentine's Day when he was busy with Nanami, so it was even. When Sorda did end up with Mashiro, I thought Nanami would go for the classmate that confessed to her because it seemed like they were setting that up, but I'm glad it didn't happen because it would have felt like she fell back on a second option and I didn't want that. Jin and Mizuki are the final couple. He seems like a pretty laid-back guy and she's kind of high-strung, so it's a little bit of opposites attract, but they need to cut out the bullshit. He likes her, she likes him, so just get together. The whole "I'm not worthy of her yet" is the stupidest shit I've ever heard. For all he knows, he could never be worthy, so get in the relationship and work every day to become worthy. There's no point of cutting yourself off from happiness because you don't feel like you're enough. And these two were by far the least interesting to me, but my favorite part of the show came out of their relationship. So this isn't a fighting anime, but Jin versus Sorda is awesome. Jin really surprised me because he looks like a nerd, but he's a savage. He cracked Sorda earlier in the season, but I kind of thought it was like a reflex, but this time he whooped his ass. Sorda did land a nice punch to knock Jin's glasses off, but Jin came back with that counter and dropped him in front of his girl. It was the ultimate disrespect. The last thing I want to touch on is the themes of hard work versus talent. Mashiro, Rinosuke, and Mizuki work hard, but they're also gifted, where Sorda, Nanami, and Jin give it their all, but they aren't superstars. And even though all of them come up against adversity, I love how none of them quit. Like, Sorda fumbles his pitch, but he sticks with his game and doesn't give up. After 2 years, it looks like Nanami is planning to quit voice acting and move home, but instead she joins a new program and convinces her father to accept that she's going to keep going after her dream. Jin also feels his scripts aren't up to snuff, so he switches schools for better resources to improve his writing, which is pretty extreme, but it shows a level of commitment that is pretty impressive. And I just love how they all could have quit but decide to sacrifice for a chance at success. I couldn't believe how strong Pet Girl was until episode 7. It was a complete throwaway. I don't give a shit about Sorda's sister, and the only good part is when the girls are lost, but Mashiro's not worried because she knows Sorda will find them because he's on Mashiro duty. That was really cute. But other than that, this is my least favorite episode. Luckily, it's just a bump in the road because the rest of the season is great until the ending. I didn't like the new guy, he's annoying and managed to piss me off in half an episode. And I was interested in a season 2, but after seeing the new group, I'm good. Then we got best girl waifu and harem. Best girl is Nanami. She's hot, driven, and her relationship with Sorda feels more like an equal partnership than babysitting. And I'm pretty sure these characters are in high school, so there's no waifu and no one would be in the harem. On the production side, the colors and snow animation during the Christmas episode were gorgeous, and when Mizuki's project was shown at the cultural festival, the artist used different art styles for her drawings, which was a really cool touch. I also like the scene where the plane takes off and Mashiro's hair blows in the wind as all the noise disappears. It was beautiful. Unfortunately, episode 7 strikes again. It did these weird transitions that didn't work for me and the wolf puppet is so random. But other than that, everything looked great. Something I just found out the other day is Pet Girl's creator Hajime Komishita also made Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai. It was one of those things where the second you hear it, it just makes so much sense because obviously the shows are different, but they both have great stories and nice romance elements, and it was no surprise that they were made by the same person. And a little fun fact is Bunny Girl Senpai is actually my most downloaded review, so if you haven't listened to that one already, go check it out. As for the voice acting, I heard some clips of the dub on YouTube and it sounded unenergetic, so I chose the sub. But if you want a good laugh, go listen to Rita's English voice. It's clearly a non-British person trying to do an English accent, which is just horrible on its own. But on top of that, she speaks like an old school Disney princess. And I'm talking like Snow White or Cinderella. There was actually a lot of voice talent I'm familiar with in this series. Yoshisugu Matsusoka, the voice for Sora, is also Belen Damachi and the Spearman and Goblin Slayer. Mashiro's voice is done by Ai Kayano, who is Darkness in Konosuba and Marine from Grand Crest War. Mizuki's voice actress Natsumi Takamori is also Priscilla from Grand Crest War and Sonya from High School DxD. Takahiro Sakurai, the voice for Jin, is also Viller from Grand Crest War and Yuji from Fruit of Grisaia. And I recognize Yui Hori as Renosuke's voice, but I had to go all the way back to 2006 to find out why, and it's because she also voiced Siesta in The Familiar of Zero. As for a quote of this series, it goes to Sora's dad when he says, "What man can talk to his own son sober?" I thought that was hilarious. For final thoughts, The Pet Girl of Sakurisou was a fun, smart series. It has a compelling love triangle, great lessons mixed into the story, and I would highly recommend you check it out. Alright, that's going to be it for this review. Hope to catch you in the next one.